Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast, and today I've brought on the show a woman who is an expert in focusing on the discomfort of change. You may have heard the expression that the only person who likes change is the wet baby. And Anne has made her living helping people deal with the discomfort of change. She's fun, she's energetic, and we met at the National Speakers Association conference in Denver in 2019. And I knew because of the issues that legal nurse consultants confront going from one role to a new role as a legal nurse consultant or a new role as a manager, that Anne would be able to bring in some insight on this area. She has been in many highly successful leadership positions, and she founded Different Shoe Enterprises, which reminds me of marching to the beat of a different drummer. And I think there may be something in common there.
Maybe.
And she uses her experience in education and expertise to ignite her audience's courage to embrace uncomfortable change. This is Pat Iyer with Anne Bonney. Anne, welcome to the show. I'm glad that you could join me today.
Thanks, Pat. Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's talk about a term, change agent, which I heard for the first time in graduate school. And when I asked my professor, what is a change agent? She said to me, Pat, go look it up. Which I later discovered was sort of a standard answer in the educational world. So you are a change agent. Let's first of all talk about what that term means so that our listeners don't get the same answer that I got.
Yeah, well, in my mind, and everybody probably has a little slightly different definition, but a change agent is probably somebody who initiates change, who drives change, who perseveres through change till the change is the new normal, who sees something better, who sees that something can be bigger or better or whatever, and makes it happen. And that includes not only taking the steps to make change happen, but inspiring others, because you usually can't do it by yourself. So it's that task focus and the people focus to bring the whole thing to fruition.
Yes, yes. And I think you hit on a key thing. You can't do it alone. You have to have, I think, an understanding of how people react to change and how we can sort of pull ourselves back and withdraw when we feel threatened by change, mm-hmm. and to be sensitive to that, because it really can impact the success of a business owner or a leader if it's not handled well.
Absolutely. Yeah, change management, I think, is a $3 billion industry in the United States. We spend so much money trying to do it well, and then it costs so much money when we don't do it well. So yeah, it's a big thing.
Let me let that number resonate in my head for a minute. $3 billion industry. And say that again in terms of the components of that.
Well, you think about change management, and there's a lot these days, there's a lot of consultants that are involved in change management to help do it well, whether we're doing a merger, whether we're reorganizing a company, whether we're instituting a new all-encompassing computer system, whatever it is, you take a big company, there's a lot of aspects of that. There's a lot of man hours involved in planning it, thinking about it, executing it, and then also the consulting hours that come in to helping the organization do it right. And then there's picking up the garbage and fixing what doesn't go right. So there's a lot of aspects in there.
And I think that our listeners can focus on just one example of implementing an electronic medical record and upgrades to an electronic medical record, which creates sweeping changes in a healthcare organization. And if it's not done right, it creates a lot of trouble and a lot of rework It's also getting people from an IT background to understand interfacing with healthcare workers. My classic example of this was an IT guy who I met when I was in charge of staff development. And he and I were having a conversation one day, and he said very casually, I went down to the admitting department because one of the people was frustrated over not being able to find information in the computer about a patient. And I realized that this woman was spelling the patient's name incorrectly. And he said, what I told her was, when you learn how to spell, then I'll come back and help you. And I thought, oh, good. That's great for your relationship with this woman. Exactly. Way to go.
Yeah. She's super excited about the system now. Yeah.
Oh, and she's going to call you the next time she's got a problem, without a doubt.
Right. Yeah, and technological changes are always bringing an interesting thing, because not only do you have the, I don't know how to use this system, but you've also got a lot of people who are technophobic, who are like, I don't know computers. This is not a natural thing for me. Mm-hmm. And so you've got that internal block as well. And then as soon as somebody says, well, as soon as you learn how to spell, block just gets bigger and bigger. And you're like, forget this. I don't want to do it. I'm going to go work on a farm.
Well, I don't think nurses say, I want to go work on a farm, but they may say, oh, I think I'll go sell real estate because that sounds like it would be easier.
Yeah.
Or something equivalent to that. Although real estate is a tough business. It's not necessarily any easier than nursing. Mm-mm. Let's talk about why people resist change. What causes that hatred, that clinging to the past feeling that we all know who are listening to this?
Well, a lot of it is kind of biological. Your brain is designed to keep you alive, basically. And back in the day when the brain was invented, it was in a time where there was a whole lot more mortal danger than there is now. So any stressor, and the brain starts releasing endorphins so that you're ready to fight or flee depending on what the situation needs. Now, these days in our normal situations, we don't have typically that much mortal danger. But the brain doesn't know the difference between the stress of a difficult conversation or a stressful computer system and the stress of getting chased by a saber-toothed tiger. So your face gets flushed, your palms get sweaty, your heart starts beating fast when you're nervous and things change and you're uncomfortable. And your brain, and we all know that internal voice in our brain that starts saying, this isn't a good idea, this isn't gonna work, this is bad, go back to where you were comfortable. And technically, it's your brain trying to keep you alive. So it's nice. However, it doesn't help us when we're trying to move forward into more difficult situations. So that's the first piece of where it comes from. It's biological. Mm-hmm. And we sort of layer on top of that. Once that inner voice starts, we start believing it. And so we have these perceptions that change is hard, change is awful, we don't like it. And then if we have a bad experience with it, that augments that even more. So you get a lot of things layering on top of each other to make change a really tough thing to deal with sometimes. And we resist it, even if we know it could be really, really good on the other side.
I spent 20 years going into courtrooms around the country testifying as an expert witness. And when you're talking about that stress reaction, I experienced it every single time I walked in that room and got on that witness stand and had all eyes in the room watching me, where every word that I said could make a huge difference and words that I did not say could make a huge difference. And yet, in order to make strides in our business or assume new roles or develop our income potential, it sounds to me like we have to be willing to change and to take risks.
We have to. In fact, we have to be change agents. You started it off right there. We have to be change agents and people who are willing to say, yeah, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, my voice of doubt is saying, hey, wait a sec, whoa, whoa, put on the brakes. And you just plow right through that and make it happen. As a business owner myself, for the last 4 years, I've been building my speaking business. I'm terrified every day. You know, like, is this right? I don't know. Is what I'm saying right? I don't know, but I'm going to do the best I can, and plow through the discomfort.
There was a t-shirt that I bought, and you may have bought one too, that at the National Speakers Association about speaking. And it said, Your biggest nightmare is the way that I make my living. National Speakers Association. So many people are held back by fear. Is it possible to eliminate that fear?
No. I mean, and this is what my I have a podcast too, and that's what my podcast focuses on. It's called Igniting Courage. And the fact is, if we don't have fear, it's not a challenge. If we don't have fear, we're not paying attention, but it's not that challenge. Like, if it's not a fearful situation, it doesn't require that courage. And so getting rid of fear is really an unrealistic aim. And so people say, you know, be fearless. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. You're going to be scared out of your pants. But the fact is, you do it anyway. And that's what courage is all about. So it's, you know, we all feel a little inferior when people say, you know, be fearless. And it's like, that's not possible. You're not, you know, you're something, you might've gotten a lobotomy or something because something's not right up there. If your brain isn't saying danger, danger, you know, so that's perfectly normal. We have to realize how to deal with that fear and go and do it anyway.
Do you have some techniques or tips to help us deal with that, the fear and the discomfort and the stress that you're describing and we've all felt?
Sure. Yeah. And my first part is just the mindset of and that self-awareness of recognizing, okay, I'm scared right now and that's normal. And that doesn't necessarily mean this is a bad idea. I've thought it through. You know, I know this is the right direction to go and I'm scared because it matters, or I'm scared because I don't know what's going to happen and that's okay. So that just knowing that kind of helps me as I go into some of those more uncomfortable situations, like, all right, here goes. Just knowing, okay, the fear's normal, I'm going to go anyway, all right? Another thing is to remember why you're doing it. Usually, especially when we're starting our own businesses or when we're entering a courtroom to make a, you know, a testimony, there's a really good reason why we're doing it. And so keeping that reason in your head and not letting your fear overplay, become more important than the reason that you're doing it. That's another way. And then focus on the good stuff. One of the reasons change is so hard is because there's so many unknowns. And we always spiral down to the unknowns that are scary and bad and not going to be the way we want them. But it does your brain a whole lot more good when you focus on what could go right. What could this look like if everything goes well and the unknowns are like, this is awesome. Focus on that instead of the negative, and you'll have a much stronger presence in the change, and you're much more likely to have a good outcome.
Now, as I'm listening to you, Anne, and this may be occurring to some of the people who are listening to the show also, is that fear holds so many people back. And what would our world be like if people could overcome this and use their talents to be able to better the world? Mm-hmm. I heard a statistic yesterday that confirmed what I've heard from other places, which is 4% of the people in the United States are entrepreneurs. The speaker said that 85% of the people hated their jobs, which I thought was pretty high. Mm. And 65% of people want to start businesses, but only 4% of them do. So what are the things holding them back? And certainly there are life circumstances, but I think the fear of taking risks and having your life change is a huge deterrent for individuals. Have you seen that in people that you work with?
Well, absolutely. And there's always reasons/excuses. Right? I don't have enough money. I have kids to support, it's a pretty good excuse. And mine was, I had climbed the corporate ladder. I had this great job. I was making a lot of money living in New York City. I was where I should be happy, but I was one of those 85% or however many that was really unhappy with my job. But I didn't have a whole lot of money saved up. You know, and I was going to leave it all behind. And I ended up moving in with my parents in Northern Michigan at the age of 42 so that I could afford to leave my income and start my own business. And I joke that I put all my furniture and my ego in storage, because in order to take some of these steps and do some of the things, make some of the changes we need to make in order to get where we may want to get, we've got to do some things. Like, I worked in a restaurant for a while. I joke about asking, hey, do you want soup or salad with that? After having a, you know, six-figure income in New York City, I never thought I'd be doing that again. However, now I'm happy. Well, that's kind of cool. You know, so we put these limitations on ourselves. They call them the golden handcuffs, right? Whatever we've got that we're afraid to give up, we're afraid to change that and get uncomfortable there to get more comfortable here. But we've always got to be measuring that trade-off. And sometimes it isn't going to make sense to leave your job and your health insurance because you've got kids and you've got, you know, maybe you wait till they go to college, whatever. But you've got to think about, how can I make this work? Because there are always examples of people who have made it work.
That was a huge amount of change that you went through, Anne, from Manhattan to Michigan, from being independent to being back as the child in your household family again?
Well, and fortunately, my parents' basement is very, very nice and kind of had my own apartment, kind of. So it wasn't, but yeah, I mean, you kind of moving back in, every parent's like, oh God, I hope my kid doesn't move back in at 42. But, you know, I was incredibly respectful of the fact that it was their house and, you know, which also is a huge change. You know, I had been married before and I owned my own house. And so, you know, to move into somebody else's basement, I mean, again, you put your ego in storage and you go for it. You do what you need to do to get out of that place. Because working 40, 50, 60 hours a week at something you hate, that's miserable life. That's like a lot of your life. And 60 is probably even a conservative number. And living that way isn't worth it, you know? My accountant teased me after she did my taxes the first year that I was in business for myself. After spending all the money on getting my business going, she said, Anne, you made $150 this year. I was like,
Oh my God. Oh, does that hurt?
And you know, I mean, and it's thinking about, how do I make those sacrifices, which is super uncomfortable. You know, it's awful. How many times did I say, maybe I'll just go get a job because I hate this? But now, 4 years later, I am thrilled with the decision. It's working out really well.
So I think you're raising an interesting point. I wonder how many of us give up because the discomfort of change is so severe that if we pushed a little bit further or a little bit further or tried something a little different, mm-hmm. we'd get the results that we wanted, but we give up too soon.
Before I continue, here's a question for you. Do you have moments of terror, doubt, or of questioning your confidence? I know I do. Fear can undermine you and stop you in your tracks. Here's an offer for some free online training directly from a plaintiff attorney. The training is called Conquer Fear, Capture Confidence. In this training, Wayne Schoenberg will address the fears of legal nurse consultants and will show you there is a path that will get you from where you are to where you want to be. Here's a sample of what Wayne will cover in this online training. 4 things that keep you from success. How to get past your fears and succeed. Why fear is natural and no one is exempt. You can use these techniques to quickly achieve success and conquer fear and capture confidence. You can learn how to live beyond fear. Get the free training to watch in the comfort of your home by going to this link, http://lnc.tips/conquer. You can also reach the training on the show notes at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. Let me repeat those links, http://lnc.tips/conquer. Or go to the show notes at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. Those are the show notes for this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you see that that little image of the guy, and there's a story of somebody digging for gold and quitting, you know, this far away. Mm. And it's so hard because there's also those examples of people who pushed too hard and went too far and drove themselves into the ground and never made it happen. So, you know, you always have these alternating viewpoints, which add to the fear, add to the discomfort. However, you made a great point right then where you said, I've got to do something different. I've got to, you know, and I ran out of money and credit at one point and was like, okay, that's, I need to, I need to figure this out. I need to do something different. And that's the key, is being flexible and being able to say, okay, what I'm doing right now isn't quite working. What else can I do to keep plugging away at this and make it actually work?
And I think that's where the resourcefulness of being an entrepreneur comes in. Mm-hmm. And perhaps having a strong support system. Were there people around you who were your cheerleaders who were helping you push through the change?
Yeah, there were a lot of cheerleaders from a go and go, we believe in you kind of standpoint. And then there were also cheerleaders who were where I wanted to be. And so I made sure that I had not only those, just those positive, hey, I have no idea how you're going to do what you're doing, but I love you and I want you to be successful people. And I had the people who knew the knowledge of the industry that I was trying to get into so that I could say, hey, I'm going to try this. What do you think? And they're like, sounds good to me. Good luck. And you never know when you're going to find your own way, but having those resources was vitally, vitally important.
I advocate to my audience that they consider having a business coach. They have a mastermind group. They've got people who they can go to who are going to be positive. I also learned at a point in my life, I did multi-level marketing. And I discovered that selling soap and cosmetics was not my destiny, but I got wonderful sales training. And one of the terms that stuck with me was the dream stealers term. Those people in your environment who say, Anne, what are you doing? Why do you think that you could make this work? Just why don't you just go back to your parents' basement? Or, you know, just why are you taking these risks? And those individuals can destroy your dream by their actions if you listen to them and you don't shut them down or figure out a way to contain them. Some of those people are our family members.
Well, and that's the thing.
Even worse.
Exactly. When they're those hugely influential people in your lives, like your parents, who want you to be successful and want you to be safe, want nothing but love for you. And in that process and their own limiting beliefs, think they're helping by saying, maybe it's time to hang up your pickaxe. You're not going to find any gold. And they mean well. And it's hard when you look up to those people and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I need to listen to that. So it's such a tough thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that dream stealer is ourselves, Pat. You know, we steal our own sometimes too.
Do you hold stock with the idea of affirmations as a way to address some of that negativity?
Yeah. And I'm a pirate at heart. If you don't know, Anne Bonny was an infamous female pirate. So I have a bit of a rebel spirit. And so affirmation to me sounds like so dippy. However, I totally use them. Mm-hmm. You know, when I have that voice of doubt coming in, mine may be a little snarkier. But it's still an affirmation. You know, I've needed to write it in my own voice so that I didn't kind of roll my eyes every time I said the same thing to myself. But it's vital to when that, because that voice of doubt won't shut up. It's like fear. That voice of doubt keeps saying, who are you? Why do you think you should do that? Why do you think you're an expert in this? Why do you think you can make a business happen? Mm-hmm. You've never run a business before, right? That just gets loud and you have to be able to drown it out. And say, no, I got this. If so-and-so can do it, I've got it. So whatever that sentence, I call it an argument with your inner voice of doubt. Call it an affirmation, call it a mantra, whatever. It's all the same thing. And they do work because they drown out that inner voice that keeps telling you lies.
Mm-hmm. You may be familiar with the theory of change management. I'm sure you are, actually. I think it was Lewin who talked about that you go through an unfreezing process and then a consolidation and a refreezing. And I've heard other people say that model doesn't work anymore because we're in a continual state of change. It's like a river. There's nothing that gets frozen again. What do you see in terms of the change process. Do you hold to either one of those models?
You know, I think I used to be a weight loss coach, and this came into play too. Moderation is key. And so I think there's importance in both of those. We can't be cemented in our plan in change management because it is constant. And as we go through a change, things change and we learn new things and all that. So we do need to be fluid. However, we also sometimes need to, and this is something I'm experiencing in my business right now, we sometimes need to pick a plan and stick with it for a while to give it a chance to work. You know, so there's sort of two sides to that. We need to be flexible and malleable, but every once in a while we need to say, no, now's the time to stick with this, give it another month or two and see if I can make it work. So I kind of go for both, which is hard because as humans, we want a nice clean template, X, Y, Z, do step one, two, three, and it'll be done. And that's just not the way it works with change, which adds to the difficulty and discomfort.
Have you worked with people with attention deficit disorder who struggle with change?
Not specifically. So, no. Yeah, no, not specifically.
Nurses have to, by nature of their work, be very detail-oriented, very process-oriented, step by step by step. And we work well with attorneys in extracting information from medical records because we're so used to looking at details. There's a big difference between a milligram and a milli equivalent, between MS, which is morphine, and different abbreviations and decimal points. So we're very focused on that. But as you talked about sticking with something, I've heard several people who have attention deficit disorder who are speakers, and they usually broadcast the fact that they have ADD. They'll tell the group, you know, this is my weakness. And then once they announce it, you can observe in the way that they talk that they're very scattered and they lose their focus easily. And I'm thinking about how that would be even more challenging if you're an entrepreneur and you're dealing with change and you have to stick with something. We all get caught up in, when we're in business, in the bright shiny object syndrome, or as people say, squirrel, or off onto something else. What are your thoughts about that level of distraction and what it does to our goals?
And I don't know about your industry, but I know in the speaking industry, there are so many opportunities to learn somebody's way of doing something. Mm-hmm. And this is after Influence, actually, after where we met, the conference. I came home and said, all right, no more learning, no more professional development. You've got piles of stuff from other things that you've learned that you haven't done anything with. Like, go and work that stuff. And I mean, ADD or no ADD, shiny object syndrome is a real thing. Like, we want to chase that. Maybe this one will work. Maybe this will be my instant success. And there is no instant success. There is no easy way to that's long lasting and meaningful. I mean, you might be Justin Bieber and end up on YouTube, but other than that, it's very rare. And figuring out how do we just plod through and stay, keep the blinders on sometimes when we're trying to make a plan work. And it is hard. And a lot of it is just mindset and knowing I tend to get distracted by shiny objects. I need to keep myself focused. And sometimes, like you said, a business coach or an accountability partner is a great way to have somebody say, whoa, whoa, let it work. Then you can try something new.
It's a great point because we can be resisting change on the one end of the spectrum, and we can be embracing change, presumably in the middle, and then we can be courting change and going down these rabbit trails. Like you, I have piles of notes and have gone to many conferences over the years and have purchased many of those enticing little $47 software programs that look so fabulous, and then they sit in my account and I don't try them. Mm-hmm. And there's a real risk in getting caught up in the love of change, especially when it doesn't impact you on that stress level, but, oh, something new to learn, which triggers some of us. I know from having gone through an assessment with one of the National Speakers Association gurus that I love to learn new things. And that is just like that in creating products.
But Pat, what you're doing is you're avoiding having to actually make any realistic changes by learning something new. I do exactly the same thing. And it's avoiding the change of like putting it into action in your life. It's procrastination at its finest. That's my next book.
Procrastination at its finest. Oh, do we know about that?
I have a PhD in procrastination, I tell you. And that's what fear does. That's my fear response. I can play Mahjong online like nobody's business. It's amazing.
I see. Well, and I think for the people who are listening to this program who know that they need to make changes in their business or in their lives, that procrastination is a way that we protect ourselves from going into that discomfort associated with change, which is how we started this program, is talking about recognizing your stress and facing it head on and saying, yes, it is uncomfortable in the short term, but it's going to lead to better things, and it will teach you in the process what is important to you. What are your goals? What are the things that you're willing to tackle, even though you know it's going to make you uncomfortable?
Yeah. And it takes a lot of discipline, and that's tough because sometimes our procrastination may take a very healthy turn, like it takes a healthy form, like learning new things, like exercise. Maybe you don't want to do your cold calls for your business, and so you go for a run. Well, running's healthy, right? So sometimes our procrastination sneaks in there, like, I'm going to make this look really healthy so that they don't get the scary stuff done. And it's all about identifying what is it in yourself, what's up here, what's happening, and saying, oh, crap. It's because I don't want to do that thing. And so what I've started doing is using the things I want to do as a reward. Yeah. All right, sit down, you set your timer for 30 minutes. Sit down and write your book because you're scared to put those words on the page. You're scared to do it. 30 minutes, do it. Then you can play Mahjong. Then you can go for a run. Then you can go read that new, watch that new video on that system you bought that you shouldn't have. You know, use that stuff you want to do as a reward for doing. And I love the timer thing. I am all about the timer on my phone. Set it for 30 minutes. Do that thing you don't want to do just for that time. Then you can stop. Because otherwise, you might not have even gotten that 30 minutes done.
That's a great strategy, Anne. You must have been looking over my shoulder yesterday when I knew I had to make a call, and I decided that I would write a script for a podcast instead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've been there.
Well, you've shared so many valuable points for our listeners. How can they find out more about you and the services that you offer?
Yeah, sure. I work with organizations that are going through change and individuals that are going through change to help them move forward as you and embrace that discomfort. So annebonney.com is my website, just annebonney.com.
All right. Let me repeat that again. Anne for Anne, bonney.com, annebonney.com. Perfect.
Yeah, and from there you can see all the things I speak on and my podcast and my blog and all the fun stuff that we all speakers do.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for spending your time with us today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. It was a pleasure.
And for you who's listening to this program, thank you for investing your 30 minutes with us to get some inspiration about change. I hope you'll think about Anne's words as you're facing that next change, which is inevitable in your business. And realize that even though it makes you uncomfortable in the short term, it's going to lead to better things. And if it doesn't lead to better things, you know how to correct your course and get on a different track. If you don't take risks, you don't grow, your business doesn't grow, you stagnate, and you start getting bored. And we don't want boredom. We want life to be exciting for you. So thank you for listening to this. Be sure to come back next week where you'll hear another great interview and tell your Legal Nurse Consultant colleagues about Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Pat Iyer signing off.
Be sure to go through our free online training, Conquer Fear, Capture Confidence. You'll get immediate access at the following link, http://lnc.tips/conquer. Or go to the show notes for this podcast at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.